We've all seen the incredible horse and rider combinations as the backbone of our sport. But what about everything else that makes the equestrian world tick? From the everyday grind to the world-class professional, join the Equestrian Podcast as we talk about every equestrian discipline in a way that hasn't been done before. Now here's your host, rider, trainer, and influencer behind My Equestrian Style, Bethany Lee.
Hey friends, and welcome back to the Equestrian Podcast. I'm your host, Bethany Lee, and this is episode 397. Today we have a wonderful guest on. He is an accomplished rider with definitely a lifelong passion for the sport. He took his first riding lesson when he was 3 years old, and then soon after became World Children's Jumper Champion and Colombian National Champion. His journey in horse riding has been nothing short of remarkable. He really has extensive international experience now, competing in Nations Cup competitions and FEI classes. He really brings a wealth of knowledge and insights to the table. He can truly ride so many different types of horses, so wanted to have him on to hear a little bit about his career highlights and his role within very large family-owned Bloomin' Equestrian business and the tools and strategies that he really has to achieve success in a highly competitive world of show jumping. So without further ado, please welcome our guest today, Mark Bloomin.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Thank you so much for coming on. I'd love to hear how you first got started in the horse world.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
You know, we're a family of five cousins. It's me and my two older brothers, then Daniel and Steven, who are brothers. We all got started we don't come from a family of horses or any horse background or anything like that. But when my oldest brother was 3 years old, my parents bought a little farm in Colombia, where we come from, in Medellin, in Colombia. And there was this older horse there that came with the farm or whatever, just a farm horse. And they put my brother on it, and he will ride from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. all day long with the horse. So they put him into a lesson program in a little club that is in Colombia where we live. And since then, like, he took lessons. Then my other brother was born and he started taking lessons. Then Daniel, then myself, and then Steven. And then out of nowhere, we were all riding horses.
That is so fun. That's so cool. I know you have been on the podcast probably like a couple years now with all of the cousins. So tell me a little bit about going from, you know, first starting out and all of you guys riding. What were your junior years like? Anything that really sticks out in your mind as memorable or kind of pivotal moments as you were growing up in the sport?
Well, you know, in Colombia is not very big in the sport, but even though it wasn't very big, we got to be, most of us, because Daniel and Steven moved here a little bit earlier than we did. So my brothers and I, when we were juniors and children jumpers, we won every single junior national championship, children championship.
Yeah.
I was actually a world children champion.
Wow.
in Simi Valley in California. And we actually grew up riding with someone that lives here already. That is Juan Manuel Gallego. He was our trainer when we were kids. We grew up riding with him, and now he's here competing in the States. So, it was great. You know, we had a great basics, and he actually did a very good job raising us to be the riders that we are today.
That's so cool. What ended up kind of prompting you to move to the United States?
Now, it was a simple decision. Since I was 12, I already knew I wanted to be a professional show jumper. I don't know to what level I was going to get. But as soon as I finished high school, Daniel was already a professional rider here in the States. So I made the move, as my dad made very clear that I needed to finish my studies before I could make the move. And as soon as I finished high school, 2 days or 3 days later, I was living here.
That's so cool. I love it. Moving to Europe then in 2016, what made you do that? I feel like it would be a pretty pivotal moment in your career. So what would you say were some of the key lessons or maybe experiences you gained during your time with, your time in Europe?
I made the move. I was in a pretty good position here. I was having great success at the moment here. I had a great group of horses from Lilian Stransky, which is a Venezuelan woman that we get along with very well. And at the time I was working for her, and I had several nice horses to compete. And the opportunity of going to Europe arose because we were very good friends. We are very good friends with Tal Milstein, which is a big dealer in Europe. And he was in search for a rider to go there. And since we had a very close relationship, he asked if I would be interested in going. And we studied the possibility, and I had never been there, so we thought it was a good thing for me to go and explore a little bit the sport over there. And I was there for 2.5 years.
Wow.
It was great, you know, that to see what were the actual sport and the mecca of our sport is, which is in Europe. Be able to see all the big riders that you see in the top 10 competing basically every week, and to be able to share with them and listen to them and like kind of interact with them in a more regular basis. It was unbelievable. And after the 2.5 years, I was feeling a little bit lonely, and my family was very far away, and we're very close together, so I made the move back.
That's awesome. So obviously you ended up coming back to the US and we're working with your family with Blumen Equestrian. So tell me a little bit about the team and why it was important for you and in your career to work with your family.
Well, we were raised like that, you know. All of our businesses are family related. Like, we all own everything together, including my parents and Daniel's parents' business is owned by all of us. Like, we've always been a family, a very united family.
Right.
So it has never been difficult for us to work together, and we were raised like that. And I don't know. I think we, between the five of us, we built a great team, and we all know exactly what position we have in within the team. And it works perfect. You know, we've had, thankfully, lots of great success, and hopefully it continues going like that.
Absolutely. What would you say? Give us a little bit of an insight on the dynamics, like the team dynamics, working with your family. What are some of the benefits to it, and then maybe challenges of working with your family?
Well, the benefits are for sure that you know that every member is looking for your best interest. Like, we all look for the best interest for each other. Like, we're never trying to make decisions to harm one another. We know it's always with the best interest. The challenges, yeah, okay, there are fights, you know. There are more fights than when you have a boss where you actually just nod and say yes.
Yeah.
You know, we just, there are times where we argue, but it's always very healthy. And now we're mature enough to be able to have these conversations. And when something is not going right, we can all sit down and have a conversation about it. So I would say it's been much more the better moments than the challenging ones. It works pretty smoothly. So
Tell me a little bit about your specific role in the family business. What are your responsibilities for, and how do you work with the other members of your team?
When I first moved back, my role was basically just to ride the sale horses and the younger horses and whatever, you know, like try to, I've been gifted that I can ride any type of horse, and I can perform well very quickly on a new horse. So usually when the horses were to sell or whatever, and we needed to start producing good results right away, I will get on and start riding it myself, and then we sold. Nowadays, I still ride a little bit of sell horses, but my main role is also to compete and to accompany Daniel in a little bit of a higher level, and I count with the two, three great owners right now that are providing me horses in order to compete. So I'm very lucky that I get to do that now.
Yeah, absolutely. With competing more at the higher level, how do you balance that with, you know, training young horses and then, you know, competing yourself? What does a normal week look like for you when you're able to kind of juggle all of those roles?
Well, nowadays we all like we rely on each other, you know. So Daniel likes to work more at home than being at the show, and I like being at the show more than working at home. Same with my brother and cousins. So I'm basically at the show every week, just competing, and we have a great team behind at home that can still get the horses working. And like for example, my brother works with one of my Grand Prix horses every day, and I basically just get on one time a week to jump it, and then he rides it the rest of the days, and that way, so I can concentrate on being at the show and working on the other horses that need to compete. So a week of mine since I've been in Wellington, I think I've been at the horse show every single day. So Wednesday to Sunday, every day competing horses. So. So that's how we balance it. You know, we have a great team of people and great grooms, great managers, and great riders. So it's very simple.
Right.
If you follow me on Instagram, you know one of my favorite clothing brands to wear is Dada Sport. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about them and what really sets them apart. They started in 2012, and they were really envisioning a contemporary but just a really cutting-edge wardrobe that is made for women by women, and they also have a men's line too as well. But Dada Sport goes beyond the technicality of its fabrics and the comfort of the different creations that they've made. I love that they have unique lines, but there still are really timeless pieces for riding because we are a part of such a classic and timeless sport. So finding ways to combine those two things where it's still really fashion forward, but it goes back to the basics of equestrian sport. Each piece truly is the result of a commitment to excellence, sustainability, and respect for our environment. So I just have so much respect for Dada Sport and all of their pieces. So if you want more information, visit their website at dadasport.com or check them out at Wellington International. They have a booth all season long, and just feel and try on some of their pieces and you will know what I'm talking about. All right, let's get back to the episode.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it definitely in any program, it involves a team. And so conveniently enough, a lot of those team members for you are family. So yeah, I think that that's cool. Regardless, it would take several people to make that program happen. So yeah, it's definitely unique. And I'm sure there's, you know, there's so many advantages, like you were saying, to be working with your brothers and cousins and family members.
Yeah.
I feel like Blumen Equestrian is really known for training and riding such a big variety of horses. And I know you mentioned that that's definitely one of your skill sets is really being able to get on anything. So where did that stem from, that ability to ride lots of different types of horses?
Well, to be honest with you, I guess I was just born like that.
Yeah, love it.
I mean, since I was very little and very young, I was getting the opportunity in Colombia to ride several different horses for other people. And my trainer would ask me to just ride horses for him to show. And I was very lucky that I got to do many types of horses in my younger years. So I guess that's when we found out that it was easier for me to just get on any horse and just try to produce a good result. And so we found out at an early age that that was a possibility of mine. That doesn't mean that I'm better than them or anything like that. In fact, I believe that the behind the scenes of the competition, like what happens in within competitions, is more important than actually get on and compete. For me, that's the easy part. The difficult part is that it's what comes before the flat work, the exercises, the the jumping, the schooling, and the management and everything. So I actually, in my team, I think I do the easier part. The rest of the members are doing the more difficult part.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, okay, so obviously that's your superpower. If you had to go through your brothers and your cousins, what would you say that their specialty is?
Well, Ilan, I think out of all of us, is the best rider of all of us. He's the most complete. He's great in the flat work. He's great trainer. He's a great competitor. And he is very, like, how do you say it? He's like cold eyes in the head. Like, he's very, very, like, he never takes pressure. He's very good with that. Daniel, you know, he doesn't need. He was not the most talented, but he was the hardest worker of all. And with that, he got where he is today. He's, I mean, he's top 14 riders in the world.
Right.
So he's unbelievable. And Steven is a great producer of young horses, and he's also an unbelievable trainer. He has a couple clients, and they all do unbelievably good. So yeah, that's I think our strength.
Definitely.
We all can do different things.
That's so cool. And I think that that's so important to your dynamic, that you all kind of have your own zones that you are able to really specialize in. What would you say is your approach to goal setting in your equestrian career personally? I guess both individually and as kind of the broader Blumen Equestrian team.
Well, for as a personal goal, like, you know, I when I first moved back to Europe, I just wanted to take it a little bit easier because I had a pretty couple rough years there with going really hard on the sport. And then when the opportunity of having some horses to compete arose again, then I was setting up a goal to just break into the top 100 riders in the world in within 2 years, and we accomplished that.
Wow.
Yesterday we found out that I finally broke into the top 100 riders, and
it was
pretty cool.
That's awesome.
As Blumen Equestrian, you know, we want to our biggest goal is to be able to share everything that we've learned in our career and bring it to the people that actually love the sport as much as we do and love the horses as much as we do. And right now we're really growing. The business is really growing. A lot of people are interested in coming to share with us what we've learned. And for us, that's the most important. You know, that's the biggest goal for Blumen Equestrian as a team.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. With our sport, obviously, there are lots of high moments, but also challenges and setbacks and things that, of course, are unplanned. So what would you say in your career has been maybe a setback or a challenge that you've had to overcome, but has been kind of a pivotal moment in your career that's made you better in the long run?
Well, only last week I was I was jumping the Nations Cup team, and my horse didn't want to jump the water, you know?
Right.
So it was a little bit of a setback because I was coming in great form with my horse, and always when it's a team competition, the pressure is a little bit higher, and we were coming as one of the favorite, you know, horse rider combination in the team.
Wow.
And he decided not to jump the water and we got eliminated. So
right.
That was a little bit of a setback, you know, but I rely on my family. I rely on all the people that are close to me, and you move forward and you continue working. You know, I think you cannot get stuck in the hole, because then if you get stuck in the hole, you will never come out.
Mm-hmm.
So just wake up the next day and improve on what could have been done better, and try to get back in your normal shape as soon as possible. You know, I woke up, rode my horse, just worked with him and then continue going. You know, he's gonna show next week and just start going like nothing happened.
Right. Yeah. I think Niall maybe said on the commentary about how you had been, you know, having to to work on the water. So what are some things in that, with that, obviously for every horse, it's a different situation. When it comes to something like that, where there's an element that the horse doesn't particularly like in a course, with this horse specifically, do you find that it's like, do you leave him alone when it comes to open water for a minute? Do you work on it a lot at home and get him used to it? How are you kind of approaching the open water for the future?
No, I think we've known the horse for a very long time, and he's already had an issue. The biggest issue is that he's actually not scared of the water, because he jumps it at home. You can just walk straight to it, and he will jump it like it's not a problem. I feel like it's more when the horse feels there's a little bit more pressure. He's not really able to handle it, and we've been very successful. Like, we've had an unbelievable year, and he's been jumping unbelievable. So I would just concentrate on using him for the classes that he feels comfortable in, and where we can be competitive, and just not having to take that pressure on him.
Definitely. Reflecting on your journey so far, what legacy do you hope to kind of leave behind as a rider specifically? And then also, what about for the team of Blumen Equestrian as a whole?
Well, for me personally, I want to be remembered as somebody that always gave it his all every time he walked into the ring, a person that respected and loved the horses, and that did the sport for the right reasons, not to I just for the love of the horse, basically. I did the sport for the love of the horse. That's what I want to be remembered as when I'm done riding. I'm Blumen Equestrian as a team. I believe that the legacy we all want to give is also the same kind of thing as the personal legacy. Just be remembered as a team that always did the sport for the right reasons of loving just the animal and the sport itself, and always a group of people that always put the welfare of our animals first before anything else.
Definitely. Yeah, that's a great thing to be remembered by for sure. With this being, such a huge part of your life and your family's life, do you have time to do like anything else? Do you have any other hobbies or interests? What do you like to do when you aren't riding or working on your business?
I have 2 days a week that I do activities that I really enjoy. So on Wednesdays, I usually have a group of four friends. Like, I go with two friends, McLean Ward, and two other friends. We go to play tennis every Wednesday. Today we're not gonna be able to do it because the weather didn't permit it, but we usually go every Wednesday to play tennis, and then on Thursdays I get together with my friends and just play a little bit of poker, cards. It keeps my mind away from anything else, and I'm just enjoying my time with my friends, and that's exactly what I do. The rest I try to dedicate as much time as I can to the horses and to the business itself.
I think that that's so important to be able to remove yourself, even for just a little bit of time, even for, a little bit of tennis and poker. I think that that's so healthy in the long run to not get so totally burned out if that's all you're doing all the time. What would you say is an area of the industry that you're really passionate about that you feel like the rest of the horse world either just doesn't know a lot about or doesn't talk that much about?
Well, I believe the most passionate I'm about the sport, obviously, is competing, but I think that the management of the horses that are in high level competition, like the whole effort from grooms, veterinarians, and farriers, and riders and trainers, I think that's the most important. And I'm also very passionate about, having the horses looking the best as possible, like being involved in all the vet work, being involved in when the farrier is there, having close contact with the groom. Like, for me, the whole management part is what I'm very passionate about, which is, I feel here in America, people lack that a little bit. They just basically are waiting for the horse in the ring and are not really passionate about what's happening beforehand. And I believe that's the most important part
Yeah, I think
in
that
the
you can,
sport.
yeah, I think you can really get one to know the horse so much more, but then also get some clues if there happens to be, something that's a little bit off.
Yeah.
A lot of times they'll kind of tell you besides just being under saddle.
Yeah, 100%. You can tell if a horse is feeling good or not just looking at him in the stall.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
And exactly, just to build a great relationship with your horse and be able to tell and get to know him as best as possible. Like if you are only getting on the horse when the horse is under saddle and just riding him and competing him, but you don't know anything about what's happening in the back in the barn when he go when he's when you're done riding him, then I feel that, like you're never getting to know your horse really.
Right.
So
Yep, that's a great point. Yeah, wait.
I believe that that's the that like that's what most riders should be passionate about.
Yeah, I agree. I think that when you think about it, like what you were just saying, if you're just kind of spending time with the horse when you are, riding at home or competing, that, I mean, when you think about a horse's life, that's such a small fraction of time, based
Yeah,
on
it
the
is.
rest of his life.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
It is.
that's a good one. I love that. Well, Mark, thank you so much for taking the time and coming on and sharing your story. I think you're having such an exciting season here at WEF, and so excited to continue to watch your journey, but I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
All right, that is all I have for you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, please take a minute and write a review on iTunes. I would so appreciate it. It helps people like you find the podcast, and it helps me get some killer guests. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you next week.